the premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Here at Sutter Health Park as we get ready for game two of this three-game series as the White Sox taking on the Athletics. This one sent a long way to left. Adios! Luis Robert Jr. back on track for the Sox. What a fair ball. Vaughn coming in. He's going to score off the excuse-me swing from Bobby Dalbec.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything going the White Sox way here in Sacramento. 11 hits from this offense, and the final score, White Sox win it 10-3 in game two of this three-game series.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Now the 1-1. Fly ball, shallow left, twisting toward foul territory. Hap on the run. That ball lands fair, and it's going to be a base hit. Everyone moves up 90, and the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Moves to it.
There's a drive toward right center. That's trouble, and that's going to be in the gap. One hop off the wall. Two runs will score on a double by Kyle Schwarber, and it's 9-2 Phillies. And the ball game is over. The Phillies have beaten the Cubs by a score of 10-4. Each team with a win now, and the series finale coming up tomorrow.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Max Spiegel.
Hi, folks. Time now for This Week in Baseball. It's not my best Mel Allen. But I'm telling you, Mel couldn't sing the low brass, probably. I don't know. Guys, did I ever tell you that I used to be an intern at This Week in Baseball at Major League Baseball Productions? Did I ever tell you that? Probably. I tell everybody pretty early in our baseball relationship. If you're of a certain vintage, you know that was the show. That was the jam. And how about me? I got to be a guy the summer after senior year of high school and the summer after freshman year of college. I would take the train into New York City from Jersey at the time. I was living with my folks, and I would hang out at Major League Baseball Productions and gather tape together to help people make their segments on This Week in Baseball. Then on Thursdays, I'd get to hang out and watch Mel Allen slowly record his voiceover work. They'd order lunch, and I'd sit around and just listen to them talk baseball and hope to be in those conversations. And now I get to do it with you. What a lucky boy. Good morning, everybody. It's Spiegs with you on a Sunday morning on The Score. The Cubs lose. The White Sox win. And that was just yesterday. We, on a Sunday morning, get a chance to talk about the entirety of the week that was and try to put things in perspective a little bit, and we'll do so. We're going to do it with you all morning long. You're always welcome to call and talk, and you're welcome to text and give us your input, and you can do it at 312-644-6767. That is the number as we broadcast to you live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Now, look, the Cubs and the Phillies wrap up their series from Wrigley, but it's not till tonight. And the Score has the only local broadcast of the game. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:35 this evening. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 6:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We're here until noon. Steve Stone is going to join us at 11 o'clock. That's our only guest as of right now, which is cool because I got a lot of thoughts. And we got some sound to play for you about important players on these two teams. And we're going to hear from you all morning long as we talk baseball. So coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we'll do blue pits from all around the big leagues. Kind of like Twib Notes, but they're blue pits. And we'll do, you'll hear about all sorts of things, including some crazy history that happened last night in MLB. When 19 people in the history of the game is all that has done something, you deserve some highlights and some love. And Eugenio Suarez, or Gino, to the Anglican teammates and others on his teams throughout the years, Gino will get some love at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Team of the Moment coming up also in the next hour, in the 10 o'clock hour. And Team of the Moment should be pretty obvious to you. Last week it was the Cubs, and that was fun. And then Steve Stone, obviously, as I mentioned, coming up at 11. On the way, you'll hear about Edgar Caro, you'll hear about Shane Smith, about Pete Crow Armstrong, and more in good detail. But, you know, look, here we are. And the headline for Chicago baseball, if you were to ask anybody, say you were to ask me, Speaks, what's Chicago baseball all about this year? It would be about this, a realization that the Cubs are for real. And they are for real because the offense is for real. We'll discuss Ben Brown. We'll discuss the failings of yesterday and that loss. But the offense is for real and everybody knows it. In fact, with the Fox broadcast in town yesterday, Adam Amin and Adam Wainwright and Adam Rosenthal. It's Ken, but everybody's name is Adam, so we had to give him that. But Ken Rosenthal, you know, it turned into a talk show at one point, and Ken Rosenthal just reminded you of the national perspective. It's something that we've talked about from the local perspective, but please understand that the whole league knows what is real about this Cubs team, and it is the offense that is for real about this Cubs team.
Ken, I'm curious kind of what you've heard around the league and opinions on the Cubs, because I think here in Chicago, people still aren't fully convinced that they're the best team in the division or the best team in the National League, what have you. Obviously, the record is very, very good, and they've played a very difficult schedule, but I'd be curious what you've heard around the league in terms of the Cubs.
Certainly the loss of Justin Steele hurts. They're still without Javier Assad. And there are questions about the bullpen. But the offense, it seems to me and people around the league, is real. And Sarah Langs of MLB.com had a great note this week about the Cubs leading the majors in both runs and stolen bases. The last team to do that, guys, the 2001 Mariners, they won 116 games. That was Ichiro's rookie season. The last team to do it before those Mariners was the 55 Brooklyn Dodgers. They won 98 games in the World Series. So I was asking Dansby Swanson about this, and he kind of used some football terms to describe the Cubs' offensive versatility. He said, if you put eight men in the box, we'll throw. If you go light in the box, we'll run.
Now look at Dansby Swanson, unsurprisingly, turning us into bump and run. Maybe you want more of that because the Bears draft is now complete, but you're going to have to wait until tomorrow to hear me talk about how they traded back again and again and again and ended up with a seventh round running back who I hope is good from Rutgers. You know, you'll have to wait again for tomorrow. Like, I wanted Devin Neal. I mean, Devin Neal was sitting there. My goodness. Well, you know me, I wanted Quinshon Judkins. And maybe Travion Henderson, if you wanted to go that way. Maybe Ben Johnson wanted that, too. See, Dansby, what'd you do to me? What did you do to me? Now back to baseball. Cubs offense is for real, and everybody knows it. The question is, of course, the pitching staff. The Cubs bullpen has the 27th best ERA of all bullpens in baseball. That's 27 out of 30. A few really bad blow-ups by some guys who are no longer here have, of course, contributed to that. What I love is the aggression with which they're moving through options, trying to figure it out, trying to sort it out. I don't think Ethan Roberts is a major league reliever, but he's still here. I like the idea of Drew Pomerantz getting a shot. I'm cool with that. Porter Hodge had some bad moments early at times, but, you know, I feel okay about Porter Hodge. I feel pretty good about Ryan Pressly now. I think he has settled down nicely. Julian Merriweather has mostly been settled and at times looked very dominant of late. Daniel Palencia has had some intriguing success, in my opinion, with a very, very good fastball that we always knew was there and seemingly a better ability to control it. Feel pretty good about him. And Caleb Thielbar, yeah. Pomerantz and Thielbar, you're trying to sort out who your lefties are. I get it. You're trying to figure some things out. Beyond that, in terms of the early stuff, I wonder if they're going to have an addition at some point here down the stretch with Ben Brown. Because Ben Brown, look, I love the arm. I love the two pitches that he has. And I love that he's getting a shot in the starting rotation. I wanted that. I called for that. I celebrated that because the arm is too good. The stuff is too good. and I want him to pitch more innings. And so I'm glad he's there. But as the rotation is panning out a little bit, things are starting to shift, right? In your perception, and I'm sure in Craig Counsell's perception as well. For instance, Colin Ray is reborn, man. He is born again hard, like Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket. Although I hope it doesn't end like that. But he is rejuvenated. The fastball is better than it has been. The movement is there. The release point has dropped down to three quarters like that, or a little more towards three quarters. He's getting crazy movement on it. And he's an adult, a veteran adult who knows how to pitch. Like that guy. He's not going anywhere. And maybe nobody's going anywhere for a little while because Javier Assad has re-aggravated the oblique, which is horrible news from during the week. And they don't seem to believe in Jordan Wicks very much. They really don't. He comes up, goes down, comes up, goes down. And I don't. So it's interesting. But if there is somebody to slide in, you wonder about Ben Brown, because we've yet to see a third pitch. More on that in a moment. But hear from yesterday after the game, after Ben Brown's outing blew up in the fourth inning. This is Craig Counsell post-game talking about Ben Brown, who has wonderful stuff and looked great for the first three innings, but fell apart in the fourth. Here's Craig.
You know, we need better, frankly. And, you know, to be a starter, you know, it's the length in the game that we need more from. You know, and whether it's, you know, kind of pitches within innings that kind of get you in trouble, or an inning like today, you know, as a starter, you got to be able to navigate and kind of limit damage, give up runs. Yes, going to happen. But you got to be able to navigate the damage to get your way into games. And so, you know, there's been some bright spots, and there is clearly some good things there. But, you know, 3 2/3, 4 innings, you know, fortunately we've had off days during the course of a kind of a normal part of it, that's going to hurt you.
This is Brown being asked about Craig's comments after the game as well.
Your manager comes in here, he says, we need better from you, more length. Mm. Is that anything you don't know already?
Yeah, I know I do. Even last week with the 4 innings and against Arizona, like, the team needs better out of me. The bullpen needs a break when they can get it. And I think I was, you know, I was cruising towards that today, and you know, what happened just didn't seem like there was an end in sight, which is unfortunate. You know, just got to keep making good pitches, but ultimately I got to wake up tomorrow and do my best to get out there in 6 days and give that length that the bullpen needs and that the team needs. And, you know, it starts now with how I recover and how I go about reviewing my outing and just getting better.
Good kid, smart kid, thoughtful. Honest about stuff. Craig Counsell, I like the honesty. As the texture says, I like the candor. I do. Go ahead. Say it. Need more. Need more length. My question is, where is the changeup? Does it exist? Because the four-seamer is great. The knuckle curve is great. But he was a two-pitch guy. Here's Adam Wainwright of the Fox broadcast a little bit later in the game, kind of looking back on Ben Brown's outing.
I'm kind of interested to see what they do with Ben Brown going forward because he has tremendous potential. I think he's got to add a pitch or two. I think he's got to add some sort of changeup that he's comfortable with or a slower pitch. If he could work something slower in, that would be great. Something to keep the hitter off balance. But I could definitely see him in a post-game, postseason series. I could see him being like an Andrew Miller type, 2-3-inning guy, go out there and be nasty for a couple. Tough. Not saying he can't start. I'm not
saying that.
I'm just saying there's a lot of different ways you could take a guy with that much potential. But I do want to see him add something. I mean, unless you're a Randy Johnson –
where you're just the nastiest dude throwing.
It's just got to be so unique that it's different. Unless you're Randy Johnson, you really need 3 pitches to be an effective starting pitcher. I mean, there's a few guys that can do it, but it's just not many. I don't know what those other pitches are, but it would be, I think it would help him in the long run to be tinkering on those, you know, whether it's a good cutter or a nasty two-seamer to go with it, something. But to work something slow would be beneficial too.
So can a starting pitcher be as good as he needs to be with just two pitches? They got to be really, really good pitches, and they got to not change as the game goes on. What happened yesterday was that Ben Brown's knuckle curve started losing its bite, and or he lost location with it because he kept throwing it early and it would die and fall into the dirt and get swung on and missed. And then in that fourth inning where everybody started hitting it hard, four of the five final batted balls that Ben Brown allowed had an exit velocity over 101. He got hit hard. So he started leaving it up there, or it started to lose the break, and he got beat up. One council question, by the way. Anybody else surprised to see Ben Brown left in to face Bryce Harper? He was, like, exhausted. Brown was exhausted and seemed to have nothing by the end of that fourth, and he was left in to face Harper, who hit the two-run double that was very nearly a three-run opposite field home run. So that one surprised me. There's another council thing that surprised me a little bit later that we can talk about. But anyway, I'll look up and think about some of the great two-pitch starting pitchers of our time, you know? I mean, you mentioned Randy Johnson. I think about Doc Gooden, who was a two-pitch starting pitcher, you know, fastball, curve. And Ben has done it. We've seen Ben do it before. But he's got a changeup. He's thrown it 12 times this year, 2.5% of all his pitches. So he's only thrown it 12 times. Sometimes you're gonna need to just add it in just to change eye level, to change, you know, velocity expectations. So what do you think they ought to do in this rotation? I love the idea of Brown as a starter, and I'm glad they did it. If he's in the bullpen, I don't want him to turn into just another one of these one-inning guys that Council seems to like. He likes to go one inning, one guy. Brown's too good for that. And he's stretched out already for that. I will say that I fully expect by the time September comes around and October, if they're fortunate enough to get there, Ben Brown will be a bullpen guy and he'll be that bulk guy who can come out of the pen. Let somebody else start and go four, and then Brown will come in and do two or three. In fact, I thought they were going to use him like that. They did try to use him like that in Tokyo. Remember, didn't he follow Shota in Tokyo in the opener and get beat up and beaten up a little bit? But that was the piggyback. I've always thought that Ben Brown is a good guy for that. And maybe that's as a starter, but it could also very, very much so be a bulk guy in a piggyback situation. And the way that they're wanting to conserve his innings, I suspect that's what his usage will be come August and September. So between now and then, you know, it's a tricky spot because you want him to be stretched out enough so he can go multiple innings like that. And having him as the long man might be the way to do that. Is it Cade Horton time? Is it time for Cade Horton to come up and get the next shot in that rotation in that spot? He pitched very well this week in the minors. It's very, very close to Cade Horton time. And maybe it's happening this week. Let's discuss that among other things. There are White Sox things of consequence too, but I want to know where you are on the Cubs' bullpen, third base, and rotation. And I hope you're enjoying yourself because this Cubs thing is real. The offense is real. And the success to this point, being where they are with the record of 17-11, based on several factors, there are reasons to say why this thing is for real. And I hope you're letting yourself ride the roller coaster and enjoy the happiness that a good team in April can provide. We will discuss. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Talk to me, Matt Spiegel, here on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
There's a liner down the left field line. Base hit. It's going to go all the way down near the corner. Birdie rounding second, heading to third. He's going to get the green light. Here comes the throw to the plate. It'll be not in time. RBI double, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 3-0. And with nobody out, nice piece of base coaching by Quentin Berry.
Hey, that's friend of Hit and Run, Quentin Berry. Was on this show last week. God, he was fun. He was really, really fun. An Ian Happ RBI from Friday. Cubs won on Friday after a long rain delay. Lost yesterday badly to the Phillies. They get the Phillies again tonight. Jameson Taillon against Aaron Nola, who has not been good. Aaron Nola, very, very gettable for the Philadelphia Phillies this year. Kyle Tucker has 25 RBIs, had 25 RBIs in his first 25 games. He's the first new Cub, just saw this from Buster Olney this morning, first new Cub to have 25 RBIs in his first 25 games since Andre Dawson in 1987, when he had given them the blank check and said the blank contract, I should say. Said, you guys write in what you want to pay me. This is where I want to come. And then he was great and won MVP. And Hawk was there yesterday singing the stretch, as a matter of fact. So that's the kind of effect that Kyle Tucker is having in terms of what we're seeing just from him individually. The effect it's having on the overall offense is absolutely something that we are following and seeing. The texter says, the White Sox have things of consequence? Really? Seriously? Can't wait to hear what they are. I'll tell you what one of them is. Edgar Caro is the real deal, man. I love that dude. I'm enjoying watching him. Edgar Caro, he had big-time games this week in his first week in the big leagues. I mean, there's the numbers on the guy that you can talk about, Edgar Caro. But just watch him, man. I mean, he's a good-looking ball player. Smooth athlete, low to the ground like a lot of catchers. You know, the strong legs, that thick middle, short and quick strides when he's running. But, man, a switch hitter. The swing is compact and quick. Hits a ton of line drives. Takes outside pitches comfortably the other way. I'm glad Edgar Caro is in the big leagues. If you're going to turn on a White Sox game, you're going to see at least that guy. We have some Edgar Caro highlights from earlier in the week. What he got? You got the three-hit game against the Twins? Let it rip, Sean Sears.
But the way Caro chokes up on the bat with his two-strike approach, he is not an easy out at the plate. 3-2. Puts this one in play and into left field. So Caro will pick up his first hit of the game coming with two outs in his fifth.
Wait till he really starts to understand what pitchers are trying to do to him. He's going to be something from both sides of the plate, and he battles. Finally got a fastball away. Didn't try to pull it. Just took it through the vacated left side. Wait for me.
Steve's going to be front and center.
Edgar Caro lines that one into right field. How about the ball game he is having? 3-for-3 tonight.
We'll take another look at it. This is a changeup. And he was able to wait back long enough to put a good swing on it and hit the daylights out of it.
We'll talk to Steve Stone in the 11 o'clock hour about Edgar and more. But that dude, he's hitting 357, 471 OBP, 429 slug, two doubles, five walks, just two strikeouts in 10 games. Switch hitter. Almost had the game-tying homer against Mason Miller on Friday. And when he's behind in the count, it's an OPS of 1.478, so he shortens up. He chokes up. That good, smart swing. Enjoying that dude. So, yeah, Texter, there's a White Sox thing of consequence. Kyle Teal will probably join him at some point. I do empathize, though, with so many other things about that team. Let's talk Cubs and Sox at 312-644-6767. This is Mark in South Bend on Hit and Run. Good morning, Mark. What's happening?
Hey, Speaks. How you doing?
Delightful.
And a new start to a great baseball year with the Cubs. And that was a great attribute you gave when you were an intern for This Week in Baseball and that. And hopefully when you go on to do play-by-play for the Cubs or some other team when you start out, Mel Allen will be looking down with a smile saying, that young man worked for me as an intern.
Oh, how about it? That just gave me the chills right there, Mark. That's good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
I want to talk about the speed of Pico Armstrong, contemporary speed, the first base. I never heard how fast he was the first base from the left side or around the bases. But I was wondering, in your opinion, is he faster than Ali De La Cruz or than when Kenny Lofton played?
It's a good question. Fun to think about and to look at. The sprint speed leaderboards over at Baseball Savant have Pete Crow Armstrong there at number 16. And I think that is like the fastest that he has run during the course of the season at any point. Home plate to first base. PCA is number 8 in the league. And look, this is Bobby Witt Jr. is up there. That guy. That guy's got every tool that's imaginable. Brandon Lockridge, the Padres, seen that dude. Byron Buxton is up there. James Wood, talk about a toolsy guy from the Nationals, had the walk-off the other night for them. Cody Bellinger is there. I don't know if this particular home plate to first base, I think it's just one time, so it's not an average or anything like that. There are multiple people up here. Corbin Carroll, I mean, certainly PCA is right there. I don't know if I wouldn't say that he's faster than Ellie De La Cruz, but maybe. I mean, he's just a freak. He's an absolute freak. How about his jumps on fly balls? PCA yesterday made a catch in right center, backhanded, going towards the wall with really odd wind. And it's just like, oh, yeah, well, Pete's got that. It was just, it's unbelievable. Some of the stuff that he makes look routine. Is this that catch from yesterday? Go ahead, Sean.
Tough inning for Ben. Here comes the next offering. Turner hits a fly ball to right center. Pretty well hit. Going back, Crow Armstrong, and he makes a great backhanded running catch. My goodness, what a play. Out number 2, the runners scamper back to first and second. Pete Crow Armstrong had a long way to go. He had to be thinking about the wall, that brick wall, and he never took his eye off the ball and made a great backhanded catch. Excellent play.
Yeah, it's a great call by Pat. It's one that was way better than maybe it got described or got discussed on the TV broadcast. Glad to hear, Pat nailed it like that, unsurprisingly. Pete's having quite a run here. And we're going to talk more about Pete as the show rolls on. Probably in our final hour, we'll focus on Pete. He was on MLB Network, and one of the best MLB Network analysts also discussed him. So make sure you're listening. We're on 9 to 12 all morning long here on 670 The Score. This is Paul in Valpo. What's up, Paul? How are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt. In regards to Kate Horton, you mentioned earlier before the break, when I was talking with Sean, I don't understand why the Cubs baby these guys in the minor leagues. You got Steve Stone coming on at 11. He always talks about the guys that throw, that, you know, or pitch, and they build up innings in the minor leagues. He's like pitching like maybe 3 or 4 innings a start right now. I don't know why I guess his walk total is probably a little concerning, but he's striking a bunch of guys out, and he seems like a type of guy. I know he was huge in the College World Series. You know, he was a quarterback at Oklahoma. Like, under the bright lights, I think he's going to be even better. I just don't understand why they're continuing. I know he has injury history, but he's been hurt anyway, so why not use him in the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, this is the way that the entire league is going. And it's been an interesting time just to remind yourself that different organizations have different belief systems. We heard it yesterday. We're talking about Jesus Luzardo and how the Cubs had a deal in place for Jesus Luzardo from the Marlins and decided not to get him because they didn't trust the medicals. And the Phillies looked at the exact same medicals and said, nah, we're okay, and went ahead and made the deal. And Lizardo's been great. But different teams have different standards. Different teams have different methodologies as well. So, yeah, because there's a big thing around the league. Hey, guys ready. The Braves bring up people very quickly, right away. Whether it's Schwellenbach, who's there, Smith-Shawver, who's been there, been down, been back, Strider, who obviously came up and was great right away until he got hurt. Horton, if you told me Horton was coming up this week, I'd buy it. And I'd say, okay, great. And maybe he will. His last time out, he went 4 2/3, gave up 2 hits, struck out 5. Time before that, he went 5 innings, struck out 6, walked 3. The time before that, 4 innings, walked 3, struck out 6 again. Time before that, just 3 1/3, that was his first start of the year, walked 4, struck out 6. So yeah, the walks are concerning. They just had the one start a few days ago where he only walked 1 and struck out 5. So that's good. But it could be any moment. We'll see if they want to. I don't understand the more innings under the belt thing either, and I will ask Steve Stone about it. But it's just individual philosophies. Kate Horton time could be any moment. This is Mr. P in Chicago. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. Sean, can you grab Mr. P and put him up if I hit it over here? Oh, he's there. Look at that. My skills are just tremendous. Good morning, Mr. P.
Hey, you know, a couple weeks ago, you weren't loving PCA. You know, I got to say, you either got to stick with them or you don't got to stick with them.
Me? I have to stick with a thought during a 162-game baseball season when things change? I have to stick with my original thought?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
Why not? Because I'm actually smart enough to admit that opinions can change, that we can all grow and evolve and humans can change. What I'm not is a take artist who just decides to stay strong and wrong for the sake of, you know, getting clicks or getting to be a big star. I'm actually having baseball conversations where things evolve, Mr. P. Have you ever changed your opinion about anything in a baseball sense, sir?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Look, that was quick. You came back around. I have a theory, Mr. P, on what happened to Pete Crow Armstrong. And my theory is based on his emotions that are very close to the surface. My theory is that weekend in L.A. around his parents and all his high school buddies giving him crap and just like he seemed to relax a little bit and things have been better. And I've actually outsourced that opinion to somebody on the team who told me that I might even be correct on it. So I don't know if I'm correct on it, but I do see a different guy since that series in L.A. And I'll give him credit for that without a doubt.
Well, I've got to ask you one other question.
Yes, sir.
If you had to go out there, would you sign Robertson, who's still a free agent out there?
David Robertson?
Yes.
You know, it's a good question. I like David Robertson a lot. I don't know the status of his arm and where things are with him. So I don't know that. But it's certainly a good question. He has been effective in recent years, even as velocity has dipped at times. I mean, if he wants to come and give it a shot, I'd be interested. I suspect he wants a major league deal, and that's part of why he's sitting out there and doesn't want a minor league deal. A guy like Pomerantz did that exact thing early in the year when he just went and signed a minor league deal to keep trying, and then the Cubs were like, well, we need a lefty. All right, let's give it a shot. And they gave him the major league deal. I would certainly consider it. It's interesting because David Robertson is who you gave up for Ben Brown. When you're watching Ben Brown yesterday, I'm thinking, man, that's 22 appearances of David Robertson a couple years ago for the Phillies. But then he made 8 appearances in the playoffs that year and was real good in the World Series for them. So they probably think that was worth it to have given up Ben Brown. Speaking of PCA, that's 41 games, or is it 47 games of Javi Baez for the New York Mets? It's Pete Crow Armstrong. And now Baez in Detroit, where he's been playing a bunch of center field. See Javi in center field, smiling and grinning, doing whatever the team needs for a good team as well. Good on Javi. Having some moments of looking like he could be a useful part of things in Detroit, where they are 17-10, having won 7 of their last 10. So, yeah, man. It's cool. Mr. P, I love that you remember that I was doubting Pete Crow Armstrong. That's what sports conversation is all about. I give credit to that kid for relaxing and for showing what he can do with some slug. There's been some opposite field slug off his bat where I'm like, what? He's got that kind of pop? And you know what's cool is that 2 days ago, he even bunted to drive in a run with a squeeze. He was safe because the Phillies pitcher freaked out because of his speed. That's why he needs to have the bunt in the arsenal, just to mix in. I wish he was better at it, just to mix in. But man, that slug being there, I mean, whew, the tools on that kid, it's big time. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It is Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. Blue Pits, top of the hour. More of your phone calls continuing right here on The Score.
I think the most important thing right now is his development. I mean, he didn't have much of a season last year from an injury standpoint. And so
sort of getting back to where he was in 2023 is and continuing his development is the most important thing. And I think we'll figure out his role, but I think he has to earn the spot up here, and I think he has to continue to develop kind of after the majority of the season last year.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
That's Jed Hoyer talking about Cade Horton. Says he needs to work on the walks a little bit. And Cade Horton's game log, as I mentioned earlier, his last time out was a nice little step forward. We'll see. Probably got at least one more. Maybe there's two more down there. Get that walk rate down a little bit if they can. And maybe then it'll be Cade Horton time. We'll see what happens to Ben Brown at that point. Or if they just kind of use Cade to be a sixth starter for a little while. Top of the hour, we're going to do Blue Pits next hour. We're going to do Team of the Moment next hour. And also, there's some quotes that came out of yesterday's pregame with a member of the Philadelphia Phillies that are going to be a little difficult to hear for some Cub fans looking backwards on what might have been. But in the meantime, we talk to you, Cubs, White Sox, and more here on Hit and Run on The Score. Ron is on the south side and joins us now. Good morning, Ron. What's happening, sir? Oh, did I hit the wrong button again? I did. I'm the best. I'm the best there ever was at hitting the wrong button. What's up, Ron?
Hey, Speaks. Okay, yeah. I didn't hear you for a second.
Yeah.
I'm like you, but I was talking to Mully this week, and we talked about him, Chase Mears. And I just agreed with him. It just feels like it's just not enough. So maybe if when Colson comes, because actually if you can get Chase Mears off and Colson and Clay, because I guess you have to at least take what you can get. And I need to make a comment.
What's not enough? Mydroth himself is not enough, or the players being up here is not enough? What do you mean?
I just don't see the challenge. Steve said on Monday, and I followed up with the guy, because he said the White Sox have been forced to develop players. Well, actually, to the contrary, because they haven't. See, I mean, when you look at Dominic Fletcher, Vargas, it's just so many. I mean, they haven't developed an outfielder in years.
I don't have any faith in
there. I got one other thing before you. Before
I will.
I
just said I don't have faith in their offensive development yet. I don't have any. You know, it's like they go out and they get other people's prospects right now. But I mean, it's not like they've developed their own. We certainly haven't seen that. For years, you can go back for a long time. It's not like you saw. You know, we still haven't seen development from Luis Robert on the big league level. You know, he struck out twice a game for six straight games.
Andrew Vaughn.
I mean, like in terms of these guys getting better, I don't trust the big league staff at all. You know, if these guys do move forward, I then find myself wanting to know, well, why is that happening? Miguel Vargas did make a change in his plate approach earlier in the week, where he moved his hands higher up, and he was trying to you see that change? And he's had, I think, three straight games of multi-hits. Maybe there's a little something going on there, but I hear you. It's hard to trust them.
One more thing. This is from 2 weeks ago when you did Team of the Moment. Mm. So I had the Padres, and you said, I initially chose the Padres, with Robbie, I went with Detroit. So now look, I'm struggling keep up with it. The hardest thing to do is match speed. So, hey, because I had San Diego, I think I'm going to give myself a half credit.
yeah, you deserved it, Ron. I'm going to let you go before you mention today's possible, because I don't want to give it away. You're very good at giving away Team of the Moment possibilities. We'll do it at 10:45. I like that people care. I enjoy it so much. But anyway, yeah, it could have been the Padres. See, and Robbie advocated for the Tigers. I gave into him, and now he's gone. He's just gone. And I got Sean Sears back. I don't have the associate producer today, which means there is no Pitch and Catch. The Pitch and Catch radio show is yet to happen with Ruben and Sean. But this is what goes on. Is that sometimes radio shows change. Speaking of that, tomorrow morning, there's a major score announcement coming up tomorrow morning at 9:45 during transition. Do not miss this huge news. Again, that is tomorrow morning at 9:45 a.m. on The Score and on the Odyssey app. Let's go to Phil in Lombard on the Score. You're on Hit and Run. Good morning, Phil. What's happening?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
First of all, I'd like to say I love the start the Cubs are off to. However, I think it's overshadowing the two things that basically prevented them from making the playoffs the last 2 years. And while it might not prevent them from making the playoffs this year, I think if they don't address them, it prevents them from being serious contenders. And that is bullpen / closer and third base. And I think there's a couple of moves that really could be made that could correct both of them and really put them in a good spot. First
okay.
of all, Mason Miller, okay, the best lockdown reliever in baseball. Now, we've got Kevin Alcantara, Owen Casey, Moses Belsteros, James Triantos, to speak of just a few who are blocked for the unforeseeable future. Okay, these are assets we could use. You've got a Mason Miller. You literally will get the best guy at his position at one of the most important positions in baseball. I say go after him. And the second would be third base, again, has not been addressed. And I know the Cubs and Cardinals don't have a history of dealing, but I know they are desperate to get rid of Nolan Arenado. And I don't think it would take much other than maybe taking on that financial responsibility. You put Nolan Arenado at third. You put Mason Miller in the bullpen. It now becomes not only a 9-inning game, not only an 8-inning game, but possibly a 7-inning game against the Cubs, because if you're not winning going into Porter Hodge and Mason Miller, you're probably not going to win. And I want to know what you think about that.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. Mason Miller, the cost is going to be really, really big in terms of those prospects. That is a big-time arm, and you'd expect the A's to hold an auction, possibly, as the deadline approaches. Color me intrigued for sure. Let me ask you this, to flip it back. Would you rather give up, you know, Casey and or Alcantara and the prospect package for Mason Miller or for Sandy Alcantara, you know, the starting pitcher from the Marlins, which would give you an arm for more innings and, you know, important games along the way as you get towards the playoffs? And Alcantara's contract, just to be clear, is $17 million for next year and $17 million for 26, club option at $21 million for 27. So Sandy Alcantara coming off the Tommy John. Like if it was up to me and I could do one or the other, I would do Sandy Alcantara more than I would do Mason Miller. But I hear you, and I'm certainly intrigued. I love Arenado. He's not the player that he was, and he's making $24 million this year, $21 million next year, $16 million thereafter. I wish they had Bregman. I wish they'd gone after Matt Chapman. They don't have a legit third baseman. Jed Hoyer was on this week with the Midday Show, and he said the hope and the plan is that Matt Shaw will come back. And it is a big, glaring, ugly hole right now. John Birdie will make it survivable, but John Birdie is supposed to be bottom of the roster, pinch hitter and pinch runner. They're going to make moves to shore up third base. I think they're going to have to, unless Shaw has a kind of a dramatic resurgence. But I think they will make a deal at third base. I'm torn on giving all that up for Mason Miller. I got to be honest. I'm a little torn on it. We'll discuss, and we'll have time to talk about it. Good topics from you. All right. Lots more to get to next hour. Team of the Moment, Blue Pits, and much, much more. Keep it here on Hit and Run on the Score.